good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. I have Crayolas handy for marking. It comes in really handy when you really want to, you know, highlight an area. Someone's been trying to get in. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If you call, you know, 5 minutes before the program, I'm so busy fumbling around with the controls, I can't really take phone calls in, but I can take them now. So if you have a question or you have something that you want to talk to me about, feel free to do so. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If not, I know you know this already, but this comes from The Violence Inducing Effects of Psychiatric Medication by Kelly Brogan, MD. So, this is a medical doctor's view on these medications, and she goes on to write. On May the 17th, 2017, which was just really a few months ago, Chris Cornell of Soundgarden committed suicide. His family suspected that his anti-anxiety prescription drug led to the altered state that he was in the night before he died. Many people are just beginning to question how much we can trust the profit-driven global pharmaceutical industries to tell the truth about the serious and often fatal side effects of psychiatric medications. One outspoken critic, Kelly Brogan, MD, writes that the FDA and the pharmaceutical industry have gone to great lengths to conceal multiple instances of harm, including impulsive suicide and homicide. A landmark 2001 study, which, if you do the math, that would be 16 years ago, that supported prescribing antidepressants to children was reanalyzed in the context of how risky is this? Researchers know that these medications are ineffective in children and they can lead directly to suicidal or homicidal behavior. Nonviolent, non-depressed, non-psychotic people can become violent to themselves and others. A 2011 paper showed 10 cases of extreme violence committed by patients taking prescribed antidepressants. When the patients stopped taking the drug, they returned to their baseline personalities. Anyway, you can bet your bottom dollar that's a play here. All right. I know you've heard this example before, but I want to read it to you one more time. All I want to do, and all I would like to consider this morning, is just returning to our past. And so, there's always plenty of examples of how a new discovery that could be based in truth, you know, you can put it to the test and see if it works. Sometimes it's not well received. Like about 3 weeks ago, I read the new study of a cancer or tumor treatment that has 100% success rate. And that was based on they have to find a way to present cancer treatment to countries that don't have a lot of money like the U.S. So maybe you have $475,000 in your bank account and you're willing to spend that on your chemotherapy and your radiation and your surgery, but people around the world, they don't really have that kind of money. But for $5, they can get a cancer treatment that's 100% effective. And sometimes I don't know how these things play out, but I can tell you, there may be one or two people that heard what I said about that, and they might decide, you know what, if I ever have a tumor or a cancer form, just maybe I may spend a couple thousand dollars taking a vacation to Nicaragua and getting my health care there for pennies on the dollar, and maybe I can get this $5 treatment where they inject ethyl cellulose, which is the gel version of ethyl alcohol or ethanol, ETOH, and I think I'll just do that instead of getting the recommended treatment. Anyway, boy, you talk about a fierce firestorm. Oh, my word. Let me read this to you right here. You've heard this before. Sometimes even very, very simple methods to improve medical quality are often met with very fierce resistance. And of course, a classic example of this occurred when a very young Hungarian doctor by the name of Ignaz or Ignaz Semmelweis, Dr. Semmelweis, he discovered that a contagious disease was being transmitted to hospital patients because medical personnel failed to wash their hands. Now, let me just interrupt for a moment. If you want to pick up a deadly virus or bacteria or infection, where do you go to get that? Well, you go to the hospital. You could be minding your own business, show up for a routine procedure, and bingo, you've got what's called Clostridium difficile, or C. diff. And before you know it, you have diarrhea, the diarrhea from hell that will never go away. But you didn't have that before you went to the hospital. Anyway, back to Dr. Semmelweis. In the 19th century, which would have been in the 1800s, tens of thousands of women, they died every year from puerperal sepsis, which is called childhood fever. The reason for this epidemic was that doctors were performing autopsies and then conducting vaginal exams with their hands covered with this decomposing necrotic tissue that was teeming with toxic microbes and bacteria that can only destroy a person. Well, Dr. Semmelweis, he made an observation. He noticed that women who had midwives instead of doctors, well, they had just pretty much non-existent rates of child bed fever that killed the mother and the baby. So he decided to test these observations. And what Dr. Semmelweis implemented, he implemented a policy in his department that required doctors to wash their hands with disinfectant prior to attending patients. Okay, you know what the word mortality means? I think you do. So, mortality rates from childbed fever immediately declined. And when I say immediately, I mean instantaneously. The moment that they started the procedure, or they implemented the policy to disinfect their hands or wash their hands after examining dead people, to going to pregnant women and doing vaginal examinations, death from this childbed fever immediately declined from 18.3% to 1.3%. Now, I don't know how you feel about numbers, but if 18.3 out of 100 women die because the doctors are causing them to have horrible infections, and that's all the way down to 1.3, that means only one woman out of 100 would die. Well, you would even say that's unacceptable. Just as simple as washing your hands. So what Dr. Semmelweis did, so enthusiastic was he that he published his meticulous findings about the importance of hand washing. This is in the 1800s, folks. I mean, you can laugh at what I'm telling you, but I'm telling you, it was reality. The medical community, guess how they responded to Dr. Semmelweis? All these women that were dying at the hands of doctors now weren't dying because they washed their hands. But the medical community, they reacted with hostility and dismissal. Because the prevailing belief at the time was that childbed fever was caused by bad air. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Other than if you blame it on bad air, obviously, just because you've touched a corpse that's died of infection and run your fingers all around the organs that are juicy with infection and you decide to not even bother to wash your hands but to go examine a woman about to give birth. Oh, no, that could never have anything to do with, you know, I'm not responsible for that, it's bad air. Isn't it interesting, human nature? We always try to dismiss something if we're at fault instead of taking responsibility. Anyway, so there was tremendous hostility against Dr. Semmelweis because they felt like it's bad air. After strident attempts to persuade skeptics, Dr. Semmelweis was committed to an insane asylum where he died at the age of 42. And you're probably thinking, how could a person die at the age of 42? Well, let's put it this way. Any person is going to die if you get multiple beatings from asylum guards. I'll let you fill in the gaps. Anyway, if you'd like to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. If you call, please turn your radio off. If you just merely turn it down, I'll hear this incredible squelching, high-pitched scream in my ears. And anyway, so just give me a call, 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yeah.
All right, are you there?
Hello, Mark.
Let me hang up real quick and just call right back, okay? I have no idea what that's about. Folks, you're probably thinking this is the most high-tech operation of all time. It is not. It is only me here. There's no call screener. It's just me. But I like it that way. I like simplicity. So if you will call me at 903-586-5257, here we go. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello?
Yes, turn your radio off, please.
Okay, I did.
Okay, good.
Thank you for receiving call. My name is Chong, and my husband is in kidney dialysis, which is doing at home PD. He's having problem with the high blood pressure whenever, I guess, the fluid is not coming out right or so. So every 6 or 7 months, we have this episode of his blood pressure is going like 210, 220, over 120. So we went to ER 2 nights ago, and they put medicine in his body, so he, you know, come down. So is there any advice that you can give with the dialysis that he does with this kind of blood pressure problem?
Have they modified his diet at all?
What does that mean?
I mean, have they tried to change his diet, or have they recommended...
Diet, well, yeah, I mean, we kind of watch very closely with what he eat, and salt is cutting as much as possible. I mean, you know, in human life, just sometimes you can't avoid it, but...
Well, I have an experiment for you. If you were to give him a form of natural salt called Celtic salt...
What is it, Celtic salt?
Yes, Celtic, almost like you think of the basketball team, the Boston Celtics.
Okay.
But this is different. This comes from the Celtic Sea. But,
okay.
But just to make sure we're on the same page, when someone greatly reduces the sodium, they become so physically weak, they have zero motivation. They don't want to get out of bed. They don't want to accomplish anything. So they're alive, but when you deprive a person of sodium, they completely become abysmally frustrated and depressed.
Weak too, yes. I mean, he don't have no energy sometimes.
Well, no, he's not going to when you avoid salt. So my recommendation is I want you to thoroughly investigate Celtic salt.
Okay.
And you're going to find out that the dominant mineral in that is going to be called magnesium.
Uh-huh.
And so
where do you get those?
At the health food store.
Okay.
Where do you live, by the way?
I'm in Kilgore.
Kilgore? So if you were to go to a natural grocer or the granary, Drug Emporium, any health food store, or if you, there's a very, very small, not well-known website called Amazon.com. You probably haven't heard it.
Right.
But anyway, if you just type in Celtic salt, you'll find as much information as you want.
Uh-huh.
But it's just naturally very, very high in magnesium. It probably
so
is
it's
low.
Not going to hurt his.
I'm telling you this because we want to strengthen your husband. It's not going to hurt him at all. What they're doing is going to hurt him.
Okay.
I mean, let me say it this way. Have you heard of the studies where they just use 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon of Arm & Hammer baking soda every day to greatly soothe the kidneys? It does more to prolong kidney failure than any other medical treatment that I've heard of. Has your kidney doctor told you about that?
No.
Oh, isn't that interesting? And so you're going to ask me if what I'm recommending is going to hurt him. I would never do that.
Oh, I'm just...
No. I'm just making a point because
he has so many problems with the kidney that he can't do this and he can't do that, but then he's...
doesn't it tell you something? The form of dialysis they have him on is called peritoneal dialysis. Do you know what the peritoneum is? That's part of the gut. I mean, that's almost like another kidney you have, so they're filtering the lining of the gut or that tissue in order to reduce the toxins from the body. So, number one, any time that a person is going to see improvement, there's one equation that's at stake. They've got to have energy. I don't care how you slice or dice it, unless a person starts telling you they're feeling a lot better. And the reason I told you about Celtic salt is because it's rich in magnesium, and that's what when someone's on peritoneal dialysis, I always think that they're very, very sodium deprived.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can cut out all the sodium you want, but how fun is it having your husband just lie around all day long that does nothing?
Yes. Well, he's doing all the ministry. I mean, he does sound system at the church and different ministry,
yes.
But at only a certain time, and he has to rest. So rest of, I mean, that is good.
No, and yeah, of course it's good.
So, yes.
But if you will, just prayerfully, thoughtfully
right.
consider the Celtic salt. I really want your feedback on that. But from my
okay.
experience,
uh-huh.
I have not seen a problem with it. And, basically, you don't know this, but everybody that walks in my front door is my own personal guinea pig. I get to experiment on everybody. And so far, I have not seen this problematic.
Oh.
When you go to your kidney doctor and you ask them the question, what is your plan to restore my husband's kidneys?
Nothing.
Nothing? You've already asked
yes.
that question?
Right. I mean, well, that's all they can do. And if you don't do the dialysis, he'll die. I mean, that's final, you know, that's what they treat him for.
You know, but if in my fantasy world, this is what I'd recommend.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say first things first. Why don't we give him just a little bit of baking soda every single day in a glass of water?
Okay, tell me, what, half teaspoon of baking soda?
That's all it takes, anywhere between a fourth of a teaspoon to maybe a half of a teaspoon.
Uh-huh.
And you can actually put everything that I'm saying to the test starting today.
Uh-huh.
And what you're doing is you're just looking for anything that you might call improvement. I can tell you one thing that I see over and over again.
Uh-huh.
As the kidneys improve mentally, a person's a bit sharper than what they were before. This is not my way of saying that he is not mentally sharp. I'm just saying you should see
right.
a difference.
Right.
The thinking okay. is more precise and more clear. So it's just plain Jane baking soda.
Mm-hmm.
I hope my daughter's Jane is not listening right now, because she might say, Dad, could you stop saying plain Jane? But so you can do the baking soda right now. The other thing that I would have you consider...
Uh-huh.
One of the things I think has to be done with your husband, I really think that we need more of what I would call an alkaline diet, and that's just completely accomplished by eating more vegetables. Does he like to eat vegetables?
Well, bad part is he don't.
Well, what I would do, well, and I understand that, but it's not
well, that the doctors, I mean, the DaVita is really encouraging is protein. And so much as protein as possible, because it's washing off with the when he does dialysis. So
well,
we might think kind of protein. So heavily meat is what his, the protein.
Probably the easiest dietary regimen that I know is probably going to be called a slow carb diet. I'll let you just look that up on YouTube or on the internet and see what you come up with.
Slow carb diet?
Yes, ma'am. But it's been my experience, unless you can get a person up and moving and eating vegetables, you can't get the kidneys to come back to life.
Right. And the other one is he don't have no appetite, so I just have to push him to, you know, any kind of thing to eat. So he's like...
Well, one thing that you may do to help stimulate appetite is you may give him what's called herbal bitters or Swedish bitters. And what that may do is that may stimulate appetite. The other thing that I see that always drastic, and I know what I'm going to tell you is going to be a tremendous oversimplification.
Yes.
But I can tell you, every time you have an individual and their health is not what it should be,
uh-huh.
they always have this tremendous overabundance of toxic microbes. They're called firmicutes. And so in the firmicutes, you're going to have staph and strep and salmonella, shigella, E. coli, and
right.
just all the bad bugs, Pseudomonas aeruginosa, which is probably what
it's got to cleanse out body.
Yeah, and so what you do is you try to, and this is only my analogy, but in Romans chapter 12, verse 21, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but rather overcome toxic bacteria with good bacteria. That's really not what it says. It says, overcome evil with good. But what you're doing is you're trying to give probiotics, because the more beneficial bacteria that we get to grow in his body, this is how his appetite's going to start to become transformed for the better.
Okay. Well, can I see you? Do you have a place that offers?
Oh yes, yeah. I'm here in the large metropolis of Jacksonville. It's a very sophisticated town of 14,000 people.
I know Jacksonville, but not much.
Well, I think you'll find the moment you get here, this is probably the smartest group of people you've ever, met before. But that's just my opinion.
I just heard from my we go to the prayer room and do the worship and ministry. But she's the one told me that last night and called this number. But then this number is the one that I can call you after.
Well, this is the radio station, but I can assure you I'm very easy to look up. Just look up Dr. Roy Morgan, Jacksonville, Texas. My phone number will pop up.
Dr. Roy?
Yeah, R-O-Y.
R-O-Y Morgan.
You ever heard of Roy Rogers?
Yes.
I wasn't named after him. I just thought I'd mention that. But it's Roy Morgan. But, yeah, your dear, sweet husband, we've got to find a way to get energy into his life, because if we can do that, then you can have healing take place and you can have improvement, everything that you want for him.
Yes.
Boy, I bet you he's really glad he's got you.
Well, we've been praying, and I know that God is a healer.
Now, did you say your name was Florence Nightingale?
No, I'm Chong.
Chong
I'm
Nightingale.
Korea. Yes, I've been here about 36 years. God's been blessed us so much, and He is my source of strength, our source of strength.
Oh, we are just so glad to have you here in the United States with us. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you.
I've heard the Korean people are absolutely some of the very best people on earth. Isn't that true?
I don't know about that, but everywhere you go,
well, I'm not talking about
wonderful.
I wasn't referring to Kim Jong Il from North Korea.
I don't mean him.
Don't
want that. No. I'm from South Korea, but
South Korea, obviously.
It's a fire from the Lord. It's been like 100 years, 150 years of Christianity came in, but now, I mean, you hear about all the, you know, church is so booming and it's very.
Oh, isn't that great?
Yes, and that's what has changed economically, and it's just so strong because God has been blessed that nation because of the, I mean, people at the beginning that they did suffer and, you know, people killed because it's the Buddhism and the Hinduism, but from that the suffering of Jesus Christ, it's been really blessed. God's been blessing
that
nation.
What do you think would happen to our nation here in America if we could get our politicians and leaders to believe the very same thing that you said about Korea?
Yes, it's
that's the only reason that we have. That's the only reason we're wealthy is because of God's blessing.
That's right, exactly. And I believe that God's been blessing the United States. And also, I need to tell you this. South Korea is not going to exist without the United States to help. That 1950 Korean War. And that is reaping the benefit of what this country has been did. So God is not going to forget that, and it's going to come. It has to be revival. It's coming. And when I came in here 36 years ago, I became a Christian. I mean, I wasn't knowing, you know, God before then, but it's been gradually changing, and it's a sad thing because it's my country too. I love United States, what they believe for, what they stand for, and especially they are the country that reach out to those who cannot stand. So, I mean, I am so thankful for United States of America because God has blessed it. But this will come back to, because people's praying for this nation. People's praying for the leader. So God is hearing us, and we have hope for God to just you know, doing what he's done before. So, I mean, let's just stand together and just united so that our prayer be heard. And he's already hearing. So that's what is changing,
absolutely.
You know, government and everything. But then evil also rise up in the last day. The Bible said the darkness will be darkened, but the light will shine forth that no one can stop his light. So praise God for that.
Oh, amen. All I can say is thank you for your phone call. I've enjoyed every bit of it, and I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Well, thank you so much for listening, and I'll visit you. And
I wish you the very best with your husband. May he really regain his health. That would be phenomenal.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for
prayer. Thank you for your call, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yes, I know the United States, if it weren't for the United States, South Korea would have been overrun a long time ago. But then again, we have a good relationship. I think I've heard that without South Korea, there would be no Apple products or iPhone, because doesn't Samsung manufacture the screen for the iPhone? Anyway, 903-586-5257 if you'd like to join me on the radio this morning. Here we go. Give me just a second. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Good. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine. I just wanted to get some quickies in here real quickie. One, nice, the little lady that was not an undercover agent at all. That'll make you forget pretty quick on a Saturday about football games, a fishing hole, or a golf hole from what she just said. If you understand where I'm coming from.
Well, if you're saying there's things that are more important than fishing and football and golf,
what
then
I'm saying,
you're right.
What I'm saying is she just gave a great invitation for everybody to scratch their noggin and the blessings that we've had in relation to America that we had and America to if we want to keep it. what it pertains to. Sometimes you have to set something aside and get on your knees. But she said it very well.
Well, thank you for your comment.
Helping a lady out from last week, and for you, you went a little bit fog, took a little brain fog for just a second. I believe that green bottle that's not with the Molotov cocktail at about $1.50. I think you referred to that spring mountain water.
Oh yeah, Mountain Valley spring water.
Mountain Valley?
Mountain Valley.
Mountain Valley,
yeah.
Spring water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Mountain Valley. Okay, well then I got confused. I apologize on that.
Oh no, that's not a big deal.
Now I know you said that you would take synthetic vitamins if you were in Kim's prison.
Yes, exactly. If I was in a North Korean prison camp, I would be glad to take synthetic vitamins.
But if you, when she asked and you were given the instructions to help her husband out in regards to the baking soda and the amount and everything, what kind of bang for the buck would you get if you've got a person that uses that, but at the same time they're eating things that have a tremendous amount of sugar?
Oh, my goodness. Those are absolutely the hardest things to answer, because it would just be all just me hypothesizing. But I can tell you, there's nothing that's harder on the kidneys than eating sugar. Nothing.
Okay.
I don't care how you slice or dice it. You could say, my doctor told me to stop eating asparagus and broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage, and he told me to instruct me to eat more sugar, which is what I hear on the radio, because
mm-hmm.
when they used
right.
to run those ads from ETMC bragging about how wonderful their chemotherapy was,
mm-hmm.
their selling point is, we're so advanced you can eat a Big Mac, drink a Coke, and eat French fries and a hot apple pie while you're doing it. This is madness.
Okay.
Yeah, there's... You can't do it that way. You can't say that taking baking soda is going to cover a horrible, abysmal, high-sugar diet. It just doesn't work that way. I wish it would.
They would probably cancel. If you're using the baking protocol and somebody maintains to want to stay with
Everything in the world has to be based on choice, because
right.
I mean, don't we have free will? There's a loving God, but you have to choose to seek Him out.
Right.
If you say, "I want nothing to do with you," He, because of His great love, He allows that. The kidneys are the same exact way. If you are completely unwilling to step into reality and understand what's going to destroy them, and at the same time you're going to has to decide they want to get well. That's
but
the first
it can't,
step.
But basically, it cancels. I'm trying to get through the person.
No, I know. Well, I know you're. I know you're trying.
You
but
cannot. And you know what I'm talking about.
Have
you
ever heard the phrase
every
that
day.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink?
Absolutely. And you can add some extra animals in there too, at that particular trough.
Well,
what you're saying is
Balaam knew
cancels,
all too well.
It probably cancels out.
No, I don't think I'd say that.
Okay.
I would just say you're majoring in minors. I mean,
okay.
Yeah. But you know what I would rather do? I may contradict myself.
Okay.
I would rather the person go through the process of saying, even though I'm not going to change my diet, let me go ahead and take some baking soda. And you never know what may happen.
That's right.
Maybe that will be a window of opportunity for them to feel a little bit better, and they might go, This is the only thing different that I've done over the last week, so maybe...
Kind of tastes good.
No, they don't say that.
Okay.
I haven't heard anybody say that.
I'm going to let you get on to some others, Doc.
All right,
but,
thank you.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You do, too.
That was what I call an extremely enlightening phone call. Thank you very much. The number here is 903-586-5257, and we'll go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey there, Dr. Morgan.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I want to first give you a good praise report. Over 10 to 13 years ago, so many years ago, you gave us some good advice and made us research on my wife was dying before me. And through all that research, she's alive today.
Oh,
just
wow.
By reaching home because they found what it is. But what I'm calling about today is a pretty serious thing. We have a nephew who overnight, he got on an airplane and he went to Washington. His dog was transferring him. And by the time he got to Washington, he was sick. And he couldn't keep any food down. So just to make a long story short, within 2 weeks, he had lost 30 pounds. He decided to go and see the doctor, why come he couldn't keep food down. And they kind of done a quick research up in Washington, found out they said he had some type of a cancer. So he wanted to come back to Texas here to get his treatments. He came back, and they said that they didn't see what Washington seen. It wasn't as bad as they thought. He thought he would be healable. And they could fix him and everything. But over these months between now, he's done lost 100 pounds. They finally told him yesterday that he has cancer. They can't do nothing else for him, basically putting him on hospital.
Is it liver cancer?
No. They say, and the best I understand from the information I'm getting, liver good, kidneys good, heart good, everything good. It's nothing but in his stomach,
stomach cancer. Well, I was just trying to figure out why he was not able to keep food down, but it was because of stomach cancer, right?
Yes. So the best of our ability. So what I'm calling about is, you know, he still can't. The problem is, he just ain't able to eat. He haven't ate anything. He throws up constantly. Some yellow, greenish stuff.
Mm-hmm. Bless his heart.
What I'm talking about is, you know, we know that they say that there is nothing else we do, but we know the power of God. I've seen it in my life and in my family's life. And we were just asking, can you give him any other alternatives or direction to go the rest of to try to fight this or do this, or what would you recommend?
The simple things for me to talk about are, number one, let's just do some emergency control of the situation, because what happens with cancer is your body starts eating you at a very aggressive rate, and he's already lost 100 pounds, so my heart really goes out to him. What I would request that you just prayerfully and thoughtfully consider is, number one, there is a substance that's found in nature called aloe vera. Have you ever heard of aloe vera?
You better believe we have.
Okay, so even if you were to go to the store, you can probably buy a gallon of it for probably, what, $6 or $7 at the most?
Yes, sir.
And so what I would have him do is just sip very, very small amounts of it throughout the day, even if it was just a small sip or a spoonful every 15 minutes.
Okay.
And if he were to do this all day long during the waking hours, what he could do is tell me tomorrow if this is the best he's ever felt.
Okay.
The other thing that I would look at, there is a substance, and, you know, this is probably going to be highly debatable if an oncologist is listening, but I could care less about that. My allegiance is to you and your family and your nephew. So there is a substance called food-grade activated charcoal. And food-grade activated charcoal usually comes from the husk of a coconut or hardwood of some kind. So either they burn hardwood down or they burn coconut husk. But this charcoal, it may give him a window of opportunity where he goes, oh, my word, I can actually eat something now without it completely destroying me. So he can play with that. He can play with those two items right there and see if it leads to a tremendous improvement in about, I don't know, 6 hours.
Okay.
That's all I'm asking. And number two. I know this is going to be crazy, but what I've got to do is I want to tell you more, but I cannot. I just can't do that to myself. But I'm going to recommend just think in terms of the word protection. So there is a homeopathic remedy called Arnica Montana. And it's a homeopathic remedy. All he does is put a little bitty pellet under his tongue, or two or three, and just let them dissolve. And what I would have him do is take that particular homeopathic remedy, whether it makes logical sense or not. If he wants to run it by the chemo doctor, just don't waste your breath. They're going to poo-poo everything that I say. So if you will, just consider Arnica Montana at a dose of about 30 to 200 C. That's just the number of 30 and then a letter C after it. So he can try that to see if he starts to turn his fortunes around for the better. But we need to, the next thing that just has to be done, and all I can do is give you an idea. It needs to be up to him and to y'all what you do. But if you were to go to, say, a health food store and purchase what are called probiotics. Probiotics almost always refer to cultures of freeze-dried or refrigerated living microbes and bacteria. And so, but that's what he needs right now. And then probably step number four, I would have your nephew thoughtfully, prayerfully consider what's called a ketogenic diet. And that's it.
All right. Okay. Dr. Morgan, can I ask you another question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Is there any way that we can just come and see you and let you just take a look at him and see what you think?
Of course you can. I'd be happy to give you my opinion, and I would be really, really happy to encourage him and tell him some things that maybe I can't say on the air. But, yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah.
All right, we'll be getting in contact with you. I've already been telling about you. I've been bragging about you for over 10 years. I mean,
I don't know that I deserve all that. Well, thank you very much for your kind words. Appreciate you. And be sure and give all my love and prayers to your nephew.
And I say to everybody on earth, please keep him up in prayer. Absolutely. And we'll just a praying family. We thank you.
What's his first name, by the way?
His name is Kawasaki. That we call him OK.
You call him OK?
OK.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I can remember that one.
OK.
Well, thank you very much. OK, it is. Have a good day,
sir.
I wish you the best. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
If only the treatments would pan out the way that they were presented. If only. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm okay, Dr. Morgan. My name is Barbara. I live in Longview. I have some questions in two different areas. One is about osteoarthritis. I know, obviously, how much you've used your hands during your life may increase it, but I'm 68, and I'm just experiencing tremendous enlargement of my knuckles in my hand, tremendous burning pain. And I wondered, other than curtailing activity, is there any kind of dietary support that would help that condition?
Let me say this first, and let me give you an example. I had a woman recently come to see me, and her top request was, I have severe arthritis in my hands. I can't use them. What can I do? And in my mind, I went to a fat-soluble vitamin called vitamin K2. Sometimes it's called MK7 or MK4, but MK7 just stands for minoquinone 7. You ever heard of that before?
No, sir. Mm-mm.
And I think I talked to her maybe just shy of 2 weeks or 10 days after she started doing this, and I said, how's your arthritis? She said, it's a lot better. I'm going, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. A lot better. So you took the K2, huh? Yes, sir, Dr. Morgan, I did. So you might just thoughtfully, prayerfully consider the use of vitamin K2 to see if it starts to turn the tide with arthritis. And to go back and try to answer your original question, I'm just going to give you some ideas, all right?
Yes.
Now, the way that I say this is probably not going to sound just real gorgeous and pretty, and, you know, it's not going to be like honey dripping off my lips this morning, but back in the 1920s, if somebody had donated their body to science for the purpose of medical improvement and helping the medical profession, there was a profession called, or there still is, called osteopathy. So if you go to a doctor,
right,
and he is a D.O.,
right,
or she is a D.O., they mm-hmm. might be a doctor of osteopathy. But what they used to do is they would actually take a bandsaw, you know, that's a very thin, long, circular mm-hmm. blade. I mean, that would come in handy if you worked at a meat market and you're trying to cut up steaks for a client or a customer at the meat market. But I know it doesn't sound pleasant, but they would actually cut through the center of that very enlarged arthritic joint in, for the purpose of trying to investigate, like, what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm giving you my short and sweet, but I can tell you right now, you are building up an excessive deposition of crystals.
Mm-hmm.
And those crystals are all toxic waste, but they're being deposited in your joints. And so there are some people that as they age, their kidneys begin to weaken just enough to where they can no longer efficiently remove this crystallized debris from the bloodstream. And so what happens is it's going to be deposited somewhere. So if it was in the kidney, you might call it a kidney stone. If it was in the liver, you might call it a gallstone.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a picture in one of my textbooks that looks like the gallstone looks like a 50 caliber bullet. It's so big. I'm going, how could that person even function with a gallstone that big?
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have crystals form in there. And gout is no different, but gout is from uric acid forming crystals, or urate forms uric acid crystals. And so that's my interpretation. So some of the things that I'll do to see, and like anything else, ma'am, the quicker that we get to this and turn this process around, the better. I mean, I'd love to tell you it's my life goal to see if I can have my joints swell to the point of non-use before I do something, but I don't like that plan either.
I understand. I'm very healthy. I don't even take any medicine at my age. I'm active. So I'll try that vitamin K2 or MK7.
Yeah. No, it's just when you go to the healthy store or you go online, just look up vitamin K2.
Okay.
And I think that you'll be very, very pleased.
Is there a dose?
Yes.
That you would recommend, or just follow what it says on the bottle?
Well, that's all you can do is follow what it says on the bottle.
All right.
But yeah, I would say when you're getting between minoquin or MK4 and MK7, you probably need to get like over 1,000 micrograms to get the job done.
Okay.
And I've seen a lot of people take maybe 150 micrograms, but I just don't know that I've seen that as the minimum effective dose. I don't know that that really therapeutically changes anything. But the other thing I was going to tell you, can I tell you one more thing?
Of course.
And
it's your show. You can do whatever you want.
I like it. Keep talking. I can do whatever I want, right? I like this. One thing that you can try to dissolve all those crystals is you could take the juice of one lemon and just put that in water. If you like pulp, put all the pulp you want in. I personally love pulp.
I do too.
But if you don't like it, you strain it, and it's as simple as that. But I'm going to call lemon juice a very interesting solvent that can dissolve debris that builds up in the body. And I kind of think also that lemon juice might actually help the liver and the kidneys function in a much better capacity at kicking out and discharging toxic waste where it leaves the body.
But no sugar in a lemon.
No, I forgot that. 3 cups of sugar, yes.
So well, you drink it straight or put it with water? Or
I think you're going to have to dilute it. I mean, my goal today is not to dissolve all the enamel on your teeth.
Oh, gotcha. I mean, I'll drink it with a straw.
Well, if you wanted to, like, chew on lemons all day long, you're just kind of asking for it there.
Okay, along with one of your previous calls, may I ask another question? Do you have people waiting? My husband is also does a hemodialysis and has a kidney transplant that is after 9 years beginning to fail. Since he's been on dialysis, just like the last lady, his energy level is just, I know they tell me that they exchange his blood 400 times in 4 hours, which exhausts him, and he has this terrible taste problem. Everything he eats tastes like dirt. I take it back, not everything, but pickles don't taste like dirt. Dill pickles and popcorn.
Does he like dill pickles?
Oh, he loves them.
Oh, interesting.
He thought he might be pregnant once, but he told me no. He just...
Well, do we actually have any proof that he's not pregnant?
Yeah.
I mean, we do? Okay, all right.
So we've tried spaghetti sauce, nothing that he loved before since he's been on dialysis. It may be some of the medications that he's had to go on. He recently got off one of the anti-rejection medicines, but that didn't seem to... You'll love this. About 2 weeks ago, he got a severe gastroenteritis for which he had to be hospitalized.
Oh, dear.
They took him off everything.
Did they?
And he said he never felt so good, other than vomiting and diarrhea.
Now,
but
ma'am, I'm not really that bright. I'm not sure what that statement means. Does that mean you're trying to explain to me that he had tremendous relief once he was off the medication?
Exactly, yeah.
I'm really not sure how to process that information, but I'll think about it later and get back with you.
Anyway, this taste thing has nothing to do with that, but...
Well, can I give you like just a little tidbit or a clue?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you've given me full liberty. When you compliment me like this in the morning, I'm going to give you extra special service. There's just no other way around.
Well, you're talking to someone who's been a nurse for 45 years, so you just let it rip, and I'll take it all in.
You know what? And that just proves my point. The greatest person in the entire healthcare profession are the nurses. Hands down, it's not the doctors. It's not the janitor. I love janitors, but they don't really care for patients. It's nurses. They
it's
are the easiest.
It's changed a lot, Dr. Morgan. When it's just not like it used to be. It's just...
Anyway. I was going to tell you a story, but you don't know what I did. I just pulled back the reins, and I said, no, don't say that, Roy. But anyway, I love nurses. They are the easiest people to work with of all time because I think they come to the table with a clean spoon because I've seen it both ways. Anyway, one of the minerals that I always continually think about is zinc.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a person has any alteration in their taste buds or how they perceive, you know, food tasting, I've got to think about zinc.
Well, we've actually been to a dentist. We thought maybe it was something in his mouth. Maybe we've been to a GI doctor. We've been to...
No. And those are all reasonable because if you had a chronic low-grade infection or an abscess or a sinus infection, yes, that could alter all that. But I'm still saying from my perspective... If the treatments they're giving you are flushing out all the zinc, then everything's going to taste horrible.
No, they actually told us to take zinc. That was the GI doctor's first recommendation.
Really?
He did it for months, and no change.
Well, what form of zinc was it?
I really don't know. We just went to the pharmacy and bought on the shelf something that said zinc on the bottle.
Well, and I mean, I could speculate all day long, but I don't have any way of knowing if he can even absorb that. There is a substance that's called zinc sulfate 7 hydrate. It's called zinc sulfate 7 hydrate, and that's probably the simplest screening test that I know of, and it's cheap. So if you want to go to the health food store and buy a bottle of that,
all you
do is just take a little shot glass or a small cup and just... I don't care if you put a spoonful in water and say, here, sweetheart, drink this real quick. Oh, thanks for bringing me water. This is great. And he drinks it, and he goes, oh, man, that was good water. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, when you have plenty of zinc in your body, if he puts that in his mouth, he's going to spew it out. It tastes horrible. I've done this test thousands of times.
Okay.
I don't think I have to do it anymore, but anyway. But you give a kid liquid zinc sulfate 7 hydrate, and if they have plenty of zinc, meaning their zinc levels are great, they will spit that out faster than a bumblebee that you swallowed at a church picnic.
Got it.
You know, it's just going to... I would chew the bumblebee up first, probably. Then I would spit it. But anyway.
Okay, so I appreciate your expert opinions, and I will employ these and see what happens.
Thank you very much. I wish you the best, ma'am.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open. Very, very simple, 903-586-5257. And there's my call screener didn't show up today, so it's just up to me to make all this happen. So just turn your radio off right when I'm fixing to push the button, so turn the radio off. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, good morning.
You did a great job, buddy.
Say again?
I said you did a great job of turning your radio off. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. I've heard that before. That feedback is kind of Wow.
Yeah. Well, how can I help you?
I want to talk to you about some plantar fasciitis.
Okay.
56 years old, diagnosed as diabetic at 52. Been taking care of myself, like a 5.9 AC1.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, this has popped up the past couple of months, and just wanting to know, been to the doctor, and they say get the right kind of shoes. I'm not sure if I need to be taking some supplements to help with that. My wife has gone and bought some magnesium. I think it's magnesium, thinking that it was neuropathy, but I don't have neuropathy.
Good. Don't want you to have it.
No.
Would you believe me if I told you that in countries where people do not wear shoes consistently, they have almost zero cases of plantar fasciitis?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things I've been told is don't go barefooted.
Oh, yes. That's why I said that, because I was trying to be a very contentious, difficult person to get along with on the radio and go against everything they're telling you. Did you know also that when people walk barefoot, that what happens is when they measure the blood vessels and the nerves and the veins in their feet, they have twice as many as diabetics that only wear shoes? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. It's not a trick question. What has more value, twice as many blood vessels and nerves in the bottom of your feet or half the number?
Well, better circulation is better.
You're right. What's more valuable, 1 pound of muscle or a pound of fat?
Well, it depends on where you put it.
I'm talking about in the brain, buddy. No. So if you started walking barefoot in the grass, your plantar fasciitis will just completely disappear and go away. Because what you're doing is you're finally giving your foot a chance to bend and move and flex the way it's designed to, and it cannot do that in a shoe. So you can take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt, but my recommendations are to start walking barefooted. The other thing that I would look at, I almost always find that the muscles are sticky, not firing properly, too tight and restricted in the calves, the hamstrings, and the gluteus muscles. And so if you were willing to start stretching, maybe your wife is probably already volunteered to rub your feet with castor oil, right? Sir, did I say something funny? I'm giving you a legitimate, honest-to-goodness recommendation.
Yeah, the wife part of it.
wait a second. I forgot to ask. Is she out of the state visiting her mother right now? Never mind.
Nope.
Well, here's what you do is every night before you go to bed, you take castor oil, just plain castor oil, and you rub it all over your feet, especially where it hurts and you have pain. And then when they're saturated with oil, you just take wool socks. Personally, I love merino wool socks because they're just so comfortable. I could wear them every single day. But you cover your feet with the merino wool socks at nighttime, and then when you wake up in the morning and you put your foot on the ground, we're going to see if you scream and cry out in pain a lot less after one night of doing that. So wherever you apply castor oil, you greatly improve what's called lymphatic circulation, and that's very, very advantageous to a person with plantar fasciitis.
Okay.
If you do all those things, you'll be a brand new man by the end of the week.
I'm
at the end of next week.
Well, there you go.
So, you know what? I realize that was inappropriate of me to suggest that your wife is probably not massaging your feet, because I know the type of woman she is. She probably says, "My Lord, how can I serve you?" the minute you come to the door at night, right?
Well, of course.
That's what I thought. Well.
Yes, sir?
No, go ahead. If you do these things, if you start walking barefoot in the grass, you know, what is the diabetes doctor really going to do? They're going to say, "Oh, my goodness, don't you dare walk anywhere near a blade of grass. Don't you know that's deadly?" Well, I think you're going to put like another $200,000 in their pocket, you know, from all the neuropathy you're going to develop. But if I were you, I'd just soon get you to heal and reverse the diabetes.
Sounds good to me.
You know what I did this week? I was in Walmart, and I was looking at the books on diabetes they had. And I think Better Homes and Gardens, End Your Diabetes Now. And on the front cover, all it is just desserts and cookies. And I thought to myself, how are they going to reverse diabetes just by putting Splenda and Sweet and Low in grains and feeding them to people. Anyway, go ahead. What do you want to ask?
Well, I'm using stevia.
I have a much greater appreciation for that than anything else. So
that, and I walk up 20 stairs to my office every day, and at the bottom of the stairs, I'll put my toes on the step and then drop my heel to the floor and stretch them out that way.
If you were to lay on your tummy on the bed and hang your feet off just a little bit and have your wife take a little bit of either olive oil or castor oil or lotion and really press into your calf muscle, I want to see if you cry out in pain. Because I can tell you right now with plantar fasciitis, the calf muscle is excruciatingly tender. It's so ropey, it's so knotted up, but you got to work that out. That's where an exercise roller could really fix your problem. You know what an exercise roller is?
Yes, sir.
Well, if you tried using it on your calf muscles and on your feet, you may tell me you no longer have plantar fasciitis.
Well, I'll try that.
You know, I haven't seen a failure case with these techniques in 25 years. It works on everybody.
All right. I appreciate all that.
Yeah, you betcha. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, you have a good day, buddy. Enjoy your weekend. Thanks.
All right, thank you.
All right, if you want to join me on the air, we have maybe 2 minutes left, but that's enough time for another phone call. The number's 903-586-5257. Good morning. You've got a couple of minutes. Go.
All I want to know is my husband just diagnosed with a...
I can't hear you. Sorry. Could you repeat that? Husband diagnosed with what?
Leukemia.
Leukemia. Okay.
It's a kind that is the older people get. It's a slow cancer. And they're not going to do anything about it because it's, I don't know what the reason is. But anyway,
could I get you to please look up research? All I want you to do is type in two words. Just do a Google search on, well, it may be more than two words, but type in leukemia and then type in vitamin K2. That's K as in H-I-J-K and then the number two.
Right.
And I think when you read the research on K2, and leukemia, you're going to be very, very impressed.
Okay. All right.
And we'll do more next time when we have more time, okay?
All right, thank you.
Yes, thank you, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Let me see. How much time do we have left? 1 minute. No, less than a minute. Sorry about that. If I can. Let me see. What did I have here that I was going to read to you? Anyway, I can't find it. It doesn't matter, though. Here's what I want you to consider. If you can ever get yourself to the point where you believe and you can convince yourself that God has designed the body to heal, then we've got something, folks. Then you're in business. Because then that puts you in the driver's seat. No one can force you to do anything against your will. But there is tremendous power in deciding that you want to restore your health and take care of yourself. You're probably not going to really get real far if you're just going to sull up and refuse to take instruction or to seek out information. It's good to ask questions. Anything that you don't know, ask.